Oh, there you go. Uncle Phil's in. Love it. Rolling Stone, capable and competent, more than your regular volunteer, like myself. And Tim Kalai in the booth answering phones for this out-of-the-box special. I want to just play this one here for all you folks that, you know, kind of pay attention to this stuff.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
And I'm always X-Man for that, and I'm Laura Christine. This is the Get Low Show. Out of the box, being brought to you by the good folks all over the planet. And thanks again, Rolling Stone, for... Uncle Phil fills in for DJ Shoots. I was running a little late, and the transition, I think it went all right. And I want to just mumble along here to let you know we're going to be talking about a number of different things for the next 2 hours. We've got, of course, a big buzz about RIMPAC and the impact of RIMPAC all around the globe. Folks are gathering here in the Central Pacific to test out the new and the latest and spend some bombs and spend some money and spend some time. Maybe leave here with a little bit better information about how do we avoid these war games in the future. So that's going to be going on. There is an event this Saturday that's going to be happening. I'm going to try to find out more information about that. I think it's at the Lihue Neighborhood Center, 7 o'clock. So we'll have some folks from the Kauai Alliance for Peace and Social Justice sponsoring, along with the people at, what do we call it? Gosh darn it. Whoo, can't find it. Thought I had it up here. Oceans for Peace. There we go. Thanks. Oceanforpeace.org. There is a panel discussion that's going to be happening June 7th. That's Saturday at 6 p.m. at the Lihue Neighborhood Center. That's at 3353 Eono Street in Lihue in the Isenberg Neighborhood Center. So that's kind of in the vicinity of Wilcox Hospital. And if you need more information about this, you can contact, go to oceansforpeace.org. You can also go to Island Breath, and you'll get a panel, or rather, you'll get a graphic that talks about the about the event. Kuhan Pike, she was on last week with Jonathan Jay and Dave Giroux, talking story about the environmental damages that occur when these naval powers come together and the different military exercises here in the Pacific and elsewhere. Also, Catherine Music. Dr. Catherine Music is an oceanographer, biologist, all-around lover of the aquatic life and then some. And Juan Wilson will also be featured on that panel Saturday, the 7th of June, from 6 p.m. With some question and answer afterwards. That's being presented by Oceans for Peace. You can go to Island Breath and get more information about that as well. So that's later on in the show. I think Catherine Music, Dr. Music, will be joining us on air, calling in. Before that, we're going to have Stacy Gillette from Keiki to Career. Keiki to Career is a community organization looking at ways to increase our community resiliency through networking, through coordination, through a better delivery of all the good programs that we've got going, and looking at areas where we should maybe develop some new programs that so far don't exist. So that's kind of coming up the phone. We got Representative Dee Moore Kawa. She will be calling in on her way from Oahu to Kalaheo. There's an important meeting tonight in the Kalaheo area. I'll try to get that up as well. Discussing the Kalaheo clinic and the shutdown of that clinic. So I guess there's a concern in the community about the clinic if you will, clients of the clinic will have to travel all the way to LA for medical services and not be able to get hometown favoritism there in Kalaheo. So Dee Morikawa will be giving us a legislative wrap-up and talk a little bit about the upcoming campaign season. She is running again for her seat of District 16 as a House representative for the West Side, including, I think, that side of Kalaheo, Ele'ele, Hanapepe, Kekaha, and then some. So Dee Morikawa will be joining us by phone, or at least that's the plan. And then after that, the show's kind of wide open. We've got a number of different, here we go, Hendricks Lake for mayor. There you go. Is that you? Oh, really? An unexpected mayoral candidate. We're good. We'll get you on mic number one. Good, swing that over. Yeah, sure. And then Hendricks, we'll definitely love to talk story with you. Another candidate for mayor in the House. So contrary to what many folks perceive, that this is the official station of the elect Dustin Barca for mayor. We have other candidates on this radio station as well. So welcome Hendricks for joining us here on Out of the Box. We're in the midst of a campaign that we'll see how far we get. We've got a general coming up. No, I'm sorry. It's a primary coming up in August, and then a general in November. So let's see. How's that sounding? You there?
Aloha, people of Kauai.
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on up.
Sweet. Well, let me introduce myself to the residents of Kauai. Nobody knows me here. I've been a waiter for the last couple of years at Duke's. I am Hapa Hendricks. A couple of things. I am a nobody, and I would like to be a somebody.
There we go.
And that somebody is your mayor. My campaign will be a bit different. I have a general dislike for politics, and generally I have a dislike for people as well. I think I like dogs, cats, and horses more than I like people.
Mm.
I believe they breathe a stillness into my existence that the chaotic world and all its loud and adamant instructions of silliness and dogmatic directions shouted from the lowest common denominator of man can never ever center. But with one wag of a tail, or purr of acceptance, or the elevated, pristine, equine view of the Paniolo, well, shoots, my heroes have always been the quiet cowboy, like my brother-in-law at the TSA, Kauai Airport, Ron Carvalho, coupled with the philosophy of the native Hawaiian, like my brother Keone Lake and my father John Keawe Lake, both contemplative and thoughtful. That is how great change is found in a world that must demand great change. And I learned that from someone named Teru Andrada. She told me that we have created a world that we must protect our children from. And because we have done that, I think we should create great change. And that invariably comes from the stillness, as I believe stillness is well said to be the language of God. All else seems mistranslations. And I believe that we have mistranslated humanity a bit. And regardless of all conflict I see in the world, I tend to be very optimistic, still due to the singular fact that I am still a part of that humanity. And every breath I take, especially here on Kauai, unlike my mistranslations of government that I know needs the common sense of an ordinary house cat to breathe a bit of stillness into a part of the human world of political experience that seems so lost in the business of uncommon sense and the common sense of profit centers of business dollars and cents over people, over human life. And that is unacceptable to me. And I am Hapa Hendricks Lake, and I wish to teach the people of Kauai as their mayor those two words, not acceptable. And together, share those two words with a world that has become lost. It also just so happens that I am an expert at uncommon sense. Common sense I've always had issues with. It was always so unoriginal and boring to me. Now, let me define my uncommon sense. I believe Daniel Inouye defined it best for me. On May 11th, 1986, he was transitioning into the Office of Indian Affairs. He had suckered me into an IQ test when I was 17 years old by promising me a picture in the Omaha, Nebraska paper on May 10th because I had lost to a man named Sam Greco at the Midwest National Golden Gloves Boxing Championship. And what he wanted to know was, what was a kid who had won the South Dakota State Boxing Golden Gloves Championship at 17, who was from Kauai, what was he doing living on the Rosebud Indian Reservation in South Dakota? When he sent a couple of people to interview me, he sent a guy from National Security Threat Assessment and Risk Evaluations, and he gave me a battery of tests, and then came back a week later on May 11th, and I took an IQ test, and they told me I had the IQ of a fellow Central Intelligence Agency asset named Stanley Kubrick. And I said, who the heck is Stanley Kubrick? And they said, somebody with a 217 IQ. And I thought about the intelligence community telling me I was a genius, and I laughed because I had just failed 10th grade geometry class a year before. And I believe genius says two things, both uncommon. One is the desire to dance, because what good is having any kind of intelligence if you don't have the desire to dance? And the second is something incredibly uncommon that should be individual to each individual. And I believe that uncommon in me is something called power transition model economics. And that power transition model economics saturates our global economy. And it trickles down, not just trickles down, but it saturates our local economy. And if people don't know what power transition model economics are, then how are they expected to understand local economics and politics? Now, I see, when I look around, I have friends here, every single one of them has a second job. And to me, that is no longer acceptable. What's happening is, they're never around their families. I used to work at Duke's, and every single person there, it's their second job. So they're far away from their kids, they're working two jobs, and I think that's ridiculous. I think if we live in a society where we're always working, we have very little time to enjoy that society, and I think Kauai needs to be enjoyed more. So I wanted to come up with a problem, or come up with a solution, and figure out how we can just pay people to not have a second job. And I think I've done that with an amazing formula that I believe will literally change politics. And this formula I have will redefine the landscape of politics so well that I was afraid to own it. So what I did was, I called my old friends who are affiliated with Van Halen. About 7 years ago, I did a TV show. I've had 9 failed businesses in my life.
So you got some business experience.
Oh, God. I've got too much. My fifth business is a billion-dollar industry to this day that I started. It was stolen from me within a month. I sued in court, settled out of court, and to this day, my invention, I still have not been paid a penny off of it. And the CMD is something you see, every single person on Kauai has seen it if they've gone into a mall. All I did 15 years ago was create something that we took out tables, malls with enclosed food courts, and put something we could sell advertising space in. And went to the International Shopping Center Convention, signed up 450 malls in one day, and then my two partners stole the idea from me. So it was a very, very valuable lesson, because I've never been money motivated. In fact, March 17, 2011, I took an oath of poverty so that I could understand not just business on a micro or macro level, but just business in general, because I've seen it enveloped by the darkness of greed. And there, wherever I go, that's just how it is. So I came up with this formula, and there's 3 parts to it. And what I'd like to do, and this is all I wanted to do today, but I did want to introduce myself to the people of Kauai, to the people who don't know me.
Let me ask you, I don't want to cut off the flow, but you going to hang out for a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely, okay. Man.
Good, because I actually have a 415 that's, she'll be calling in shortly, or actually I think I'll be calling her very shortly and bringing her on up, but wanted to provide ample time for you to get your message out. We've got plenty of opportunity for that as the show unfolds.
Mahalo.
Take a little musical interlude, and then we'll be talking to Stacey Gillette from Keiki de Career. It's something that you might be interested in as a candidate for mayor, about a community organization that is working multiple levels, from, as the word or the name implies, Keiki to Career. You know, we're looking at youngsters, and we're also looking at young adults, and we're being able to try to map out from those preschool days to someone like yourself who's participating in community, who's got a vision or a passion for life and wants to contribute in any way that they would like to contribute. So Stacy Gillette will be joining us. We got her on the phone. Nice. Very thank you, Tim, for quickly bringing her up. Stacy, are you there?
I'm here.
And you can hear us?
I can.
Terrific. Everyone else with their headphones on can hear, too. Stacy, thanks so much for joining us on Out of the Box. I invited you to talk story about an event going on tonight at Kauai Community College. But before we go there, can you tell us a little bit for our listening audience, people who don't know what Keiki to Career is, describe what this organization is, what it does, and what we're trying to accomplish.
Sure. So I am the coordinator for Keiki to Career, and it's an island-wide initiative bringing together all the people who touch the life of a child from the time that they're born until the time they begin their career. So that could be families, it could be parents, caregivers, preschool teachers, teachers all along from the time they're in kindergarten until they graduate from Kauai Community College. Also all of our nonprofit providers on the island, like the Boys and Girls Club, Haleopio, the Department of Health. So there's many, many, many people involved in the initiative. And really, ultimately, what it's about is to make sure that when a young person is ready to graduate from either high school or college, that they're prepared for life and that they are able to find a job that provides them with a living wage and also is a passion of theirs, is something that they enjoy doing.
Well, thanks, Stacy, for that description. I think I misspoke when I earlier was talking about Keiki to Career because I mentioned pre-K, but it's actually prenatal.
From the very beginning.
From the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that. And what is going on tonight?
So tonight is pretty special. We're hosting and featuring a speaker. Karen Pittman is her name, and she is the co-founder, president, and CEO of an organization based in Washington, D.C. called the Forum for Youth Investment. And she travels around the country speaking with communities in terms of how they can help prepare young people for life and really highlighting the fact that it's not just about education. While that is very, very important, it's also about all of the care and support they receive along the way from caring adults.
Mm-hmm. And that's tonight at Kauai Community College at the Performing Arts Center from 6 to 8 p.m., titled The Learning Curve, Improving the Odds for Kauai Youth. Now, Keiki to Career is, if you will, a public entity partnering with Kauai Planning Action and Alliance, and you mentioned some of the other folks that you're engaged with. I know Kauai Community College is supporting this in different ways as well. What was the genesis of Keiki to Career and wanting to do this work and look at it from a more kind of comprehensive, big picture perspective?
Well, I think there were a couple reasons. The first was that some of the data that we looked at in terms of how our youth are doing on Kauai was alarming. There were some things that we wanted to improve across the island, and the other big reason is what we realized is that no individual person or organization can address these issues. It really does take all of us coming together to work on solutions that are across the entire system.
Mm-hmm.
So the Department of Education, you already mentioned Kauai Community College, but really also, you know, parents and families, many of them are struggling and they're working hard to, you know, pay the bills and survive. So it's even bringing together service providers that support families to figure out, you know, how can we really make sure that they're equipped to provide the type of support with their kids, you know, help with homework or taking them to after school programs, sports is also a big way to develop, you know, character development and healthy living. So it I think for us, what we realized is that if we wanted to change the outcomes for youth on Kauai, we really did need to all come together and figure out how do we pick sort of the best of what each organization and person has to offer and harness all of that power, you know, all the resources that we have. And we already have about 40 partners that are engaged, and we've gone out to each of the high schools and met with a lot of the parents and the families and the teachers. So we're excited about growing our Ohana even bigger in this event. And so that's where we're really hoping that people will come out and hear Karen, but also hear from the panel of local leaders that we've asked to come and talk story and kind of share their perspective. We have a principal. We have a student, a recent graduate from Kauai High School. We also have one of the local nonprofit executive directors. We have the manager of the Kamehameha Schools Resource Center, and also someone who works with the Chamber of Commerce.
And that's tonight at 6 to 8 p.m. at Kauai Community College, the Performing Arts Center. That's the large big hall on campus. That's the Learning Curve, Improving the Odds for Kauai Youth. It's featuring Karen Pittman, and she's the co-founder and president and CEO of the Forum for Youth Investment. She's based in Washington. She's a national leader in the youth development field and was recognized by the Nonprofit Times as one of the top 50 CEOs in nonprofits with power and influence. She's a widely published author of books and articles on youth issues. Karen speaks across the country with the message that all community members play an important role in helping youth be ready by 21, ready for college, work, and life. Stacy, we are going to be treated for an all-day workshop tomorrow with Karen as well. After the workshop tomorrow, what do you see? How do you see this work being undertaken by Keiki to Career and its partners?
Well, I think it's about growing, you know, again, growing the Ohana, getting more people involved and aware of what we're trying to do on islands. And I hope that we're able to identify two or three really high priority projects that we can work on for the rest of the year. You know, with the school year starting, you know, I believe it's in July, late July, you know, we have an opportunity with the next year's graduating class to bring in some additional services. So I'm hoping that the meeting tomorrow, the all-day partnership meeting, will really help energize all of the providers that offer support to students and mm-hmm. identify some ways, you know, the two or three really tangible things that we can do. And for us, you know, engaging parents and families in this work, really they're the most important teachers and supporters for youth. So I'm hoping that that's one of the things that we talk about tomorrow and that we can begin to reach out more to parents and families and figure out what we can do to support them.
Mm-hmm. And if folks are interested in joining Keiki to Career, getting involved in this effort, how would you recommend them to get plugged in and participate?
Yeah, well, I mean, essentially, the best way is to check us out on our website, www.keiki2career.org. We also have a Facebook page, so if you're into Facebook, check us out, like the page, and begin to get some of our posts on your feed. And you can also, anyone can give me a call. My number is 808-482-4425.
Terrific. And an email address, if you have one?
Absolutely. It's Stacey, and it's Stacey at kauainetwork.org.
That's all one word, kauainetwork.org. And the phone number again is 482-4425. I had to squint there. It looked like a six. Stacy, thanks so much for one, the coordinating of this project. It's pretty ambitious. As well as, you know, I think kind of working in multiple levels with multiple players with the hopes of having multiple outcomes that benefit us all. Can you quickly break down the different groups, if you will, within the KKT career spectrum? Because I know that there is 4 to 5 different, if you will, identity groups focused on their area of expertise. Can you break that down for listeners?
Absolutely, yeah. So we start with birth to grade 3, and the goal for that group is to really make sure that Kiki have a strong foundation when they go into kindergarten, that they're ready for school, not just academically ready, but also socially and emotionally ready.
Mm-hmm.
And then we look a lot, the other focus areas, resilience and life skills. So, you know, I mentioned before, education is important, but building those life skills, you know, how to resolve conflict, how to make healthy choices, you know, how to manage their money, you know, some really basic skills that we all need to be successful in life. And so we have a group around that. We have a group that works towards the parent, ohana, and community engagement, as I've mentioned, is a really important facet of the initiative. And then lastly, the high school and post-secondary opportunities, making sure that, you know, students are graduating on time, but they're also college and career ready. And once they get to KCC, that they receive all of the support that they need to get into their careers.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, mahalos for the work that you're doing and for taking time as you prepare for tonight's free event at Kauai Community College. That's featuring Karen Pittman, The Learning Curve, Improving the Odds for Kauai Youth. It's a event that's free, being sponsored by Kiki to Career Kauai. You've been listening to Stacy Gillette, who's the coordinator for this initiative. Stacy, thanks again for joining us. Any final words or thoughts before we depart this afternoon?
Absolutely. I just want to give a big shout out and mahalo to all the people who have helped. While you're just listening to one person, there are many, many people who have made this day possible. So just a general mahalo to everyone that has been engaged. And if you're thinking about coming, please do.
There we go. If you're contemplating, take action. Come on
out.
Right. It's free.
Yeah.
Get to learn a little bit more about this initiative. Here's some words of wisdom from a visiting scholar and coordinator. And also learn how to get involved with Keiki to Career. If you want more information, you can go to the website, keikitocareer.org, or give Stacy a call at 482-4425. Stacy, once again, thanks so much for joining us on Out of the Box, and I hope you have a good turnout tonight, and we'll be seeing you tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Aloha. That was Stacy Gillette, coordinator for Keiki to Career Kauai. Hapa Hendricks, candidate for mayor, what did you think about that?
Aloha. Sounds like a fantastic program.
Mm-hmm. You know, good stuff going on in our community. And I know that without government support, a lot of these good things don't happen. How do you see your administration able to continue to provide support where it's needed in the future?
I think we need to increase more revenue streams. Think about out-of-the-box modalities of how to create revenue. And mm-hmm. I think I have a plan for that, a very detailed plan for that.
Oh, I'd like to hear some of those details.
Okay. I have a three-step plan within my formula. One of the plans is something that I created called 6 Phytomai Capacitors. And what they do is they have actually... How I kind of discovered this, I kind of fumbled onto it from a perspective of being the nuclear biological chemical warfare expert for the 533rd Military Intelligence Battalion in Basra, Iraq. The middle portion of that is biological warfare. Now, I had no idea until I got sick personally, and necessity is the mother of invention. I had no idea that biological warfare has a civilian sector equivalent, and that civilian sector equivalent is called cellular pathology. Now, once you put cellular pathology into the biological warfare area, then you've just made things like cancer in the jurisdiction of my expertise. So I had worked out a cancer regimen program just recently that was so advanced that just 1/4 of the regimen is 600% more effective than anything they got out there. And these are phenylacetylisoglutamine compounds that a guy named Stanislav Brzezinski in Houston, Texas, has invented. And he has gotten so much flack from our federal government, specifically the FDA, and basically the only reason I'm running for mayor is to get rid of the control that the FDA has on local politics. I believe the FDA, and I know this for a fact, they have been taking bribes from the five GMO companies in the name of user act fees for as long as I can remember. So what I'm saying is that the five GMO companies here have been paying the FDA. Now, that's like, you know, police officers getting 40% of their pay from the local drug dealers. That's just unacceptable to me. And once you find that out, and this is proven quite easily, just YouTube cancer is serious business. And once you see that, you'll start thinking differently, because what you're going to do is you're going to see that maybe there is more to just more than concealment to things that people should have access to. So what I'm trying to do is create local government transparency with federal government. And I think if you do that, then you see where the money is at all times. And when you see where the money is, then that money can get to the people quite easier. So it would be like a shift to get people to stop working two jobs, you know, to get people to actually get money from their government just by creating a business that the government gives to the people. Because right now, all I see is people taking from the government, or people taking,
you're overweight,
or people taking from their own selves, and the government not doing anything about it. They're not helping at all.
There we go. I was just about to try to get this from Dr. Brzezinski up on the Facebook page.
He's a fascinating
cancer,
man.
Cancer is serious business. It's a documentary.
Yeah, it's an hour long. It's a very informative, and what it does is it teaches about the FDA and how controlling they are. And like I said, I had a if you speak with Anthony Houck, the FDA commissioner at the time, when I got the information that he does not give any research grants or funds to those people that aren't connected with the pharmaceutical industry. So I just think that's unfair, because it blocks innovative and ingenious methods of dealing with things, and mm-hmm. they won't even get it out to the people. So that's my healthcare stand. I think healthcare needs to be radically changed, because it's right now it's under the auspices of what I call the law of 97s. If you go to an oncologist with brain cancer or pancreatic cancer, they will give you the Sloan Kettering Rockefeller Holy Trinity, where it's radiation, chemo, or surgery. And they'll tell you that 97 out of 100 people die after they do those three things. Now, if a doctor gets 97 wrong on his medical board, is he going to be a doctor? No, I think you should look at doctors and tell them right in the eye that they should be no longer considered experts if they're killing 97 out of 100 people. I mean, that's just common sense. So that's my problem with the healthcare industry, and I think I can help that by part 1/3 of this formula. The other part is the economics of something called the economic hitman. And if anybody wants to understand what an economic hitman is, just read John Perkins' Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Now, 12 years ago, I accidentally became a partner with one of these people.
One of these hitmen?
Yeah.
Oh.
His name is David H. Siegel from American
name
Financial.
Name and names.
And another guy who is the head of an organized crime syndicate. Now, when I found out that I was working with these two people, I immediately resigned from the company, and they frowned upon that. So for the last 12 years, I've just been keeping a very low profile. I've actually found myself in the bottom of a bottle for 12 years. And last year, a man named Kainoa Lum that I worked with at Duke's just kept making me laugh. And I decided that I no longer wanted to embrace the martial arts discipline of the drunken fool. I mm-hmm. think I had mastered it, so I moved on. And since I moved on, which is last year, I've created this formula, and that's why I'm running for mayor. And the third thing is the intelligence of the woo, and it's basically an aha dance. It's a shift in mind from thinking of not just being American, but shifting to being Hawaiian American. Because when I see the culture of America And then I see the culture of Kauai, and I've been all around the world. I got married in Poland. My wife was from Warsaw. We had some businesses there. We lived half the year in Boca Raton, Florida, and half the year there. And, I mean, pretty much everybody in my family has passed away from cancer. My dad, my brother Keone Lake, who is a great surfer, surfed Kauai his entire life, bone cancer. My wife, breast cancer. My dad's buried at the Hanapepe Veterans Cemetery for the last 20 years. You know, he was a war hero. Really incredible man. My wife, or my my mother has Alzheimer's in Wailua. So there's obviously a health issue here that we need to explore. And I like looking at things that other people don't like to look at, because then you get a fully expanded version of your reality, as opposed to one that you have to avert your eyes to. And I just want a little bit more transparency in this world. I feel that the government has become so corrupt, and if I was the current mayor, I'd be ashamed. There's a video on YouTube, pull it up, the visible bio effects of the GMO companies on the island of Kauai. Man, that thing got me so angry.
Look them up.
That was ridiculous.
What's it called again?
The visible bio effects of GMO on the island of Kauai.
Okay. During one of our musical interludes, we'll pull that one out.
Basically, I will prove to anybody this formula exists and what this formula will do. And this is the political gauntlet that I wish only to put forth. That's the highest. That's Sergeant Rick Schiff. He's an amazing. In fact, I did my research based on his daughter who had died of brain cancer. She had she had no cancer in her brain, and she died of radiation, actually. That was the anomalous case study that I started with. And he is the most highly decorated police officer in San Francisco. He won the Medal of Merit or Honor.
Some expertise in fraud. In fact, I'm quite certain there are enough employees in the room that I could be bordered as an expert in fraud.
I'm honored to know him.
I conducted my own investigation. I have no doubt the man is not a fraud. I have no doubt that he does what he does out of earnest belief that his medicine works. And now you're in a position to judge for yourselves whether it works or not, but it's well established by the FDA that it's non-toxic.
He's talking about Dr. Resistance.
18 months later,
he's talking about the three protein peptides I used.
The antineoplastin. Uh-huh. She had not died. She had no signs of tumor. She remained free for 18 months of cancer. Within a month, the cancer was widespread in her brain. We put her back on Brzezinski's. By the way, at the objections of our doctors, for some reason felt that it had failed her. We put her back on. Within 9 weeks, the tumor was completely gone. She died last July of neurological necrosis. Her brain fell apart from the radiation. The autopsy showed that she was completely cancer-free. Out of 52 cases of that disease ever, no one died cancer-free, just Chrissy. So she didn't die of a terminal illness. She died of my inability to care for her properly, and she died from bad advice. She died because there's a government institution that disseminates false information.
He's talking about the FDA.
And is not looking out for the welfare of the people. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I swore an oath 11 years ago, and I think most of us in this room swore it at one time or another, to uphold the Constitution. It says life right in the beginning.
There you go. And so that gentleman is testifying in front of
Congress.
Stanislav
Brzezinski has been indicted by Congress about 10 times, and they can't find anything to get this guy, throw this guy in jail. So he keeps winning in his test cases. The reason how I found him is there was an intelligence asset that was sent in to debunk him, and I'm the only one pretty much that knows who that intelligence asset is. So when I researched that paperwork, I saw so much covering up something that works so profoundly and beautifully in this cellular pathology world that I was shocked to understand that it did that. And then now I realized that, because I had to create something called a CBS Pi. It's something that blocks a mode of delivery for a billion or a trillion dollar business to get into the market.
Mm-hmm.
And that CBS Pi, the C was myself versus Captivad Media Corporation, where I lost the CMD. The B is the Brzezinski. And the S is, this is another thing, it's just a very unique, trivial fact. The CEO of a major car company, bought the technology for LoJack and shelved it for 12 years just because an accountant showed him how much money he would lose on stolen car replacement sales. Now, LoJack is the GPS positioning system that's in every single car now and every phone. So to have this formula that I created, I think one of those things will happen, and then the PIE stands for propaganda indictments or eliminations. I mean, when you start dealing with $1 trillion a year business and you're going to take that money away from pharmaceutical industries, they tend to get a little testy, man.
Right. There's that interest to protect there. We have a phone call. We want to ask a question of you. Caller, you're on the air with Hoppe Hendricks, candidate for mayor.
Mahalo. Are you gentlemen familiar with the works of Kevin Trudeau?
I'm not.
Are you referencing the 1988 Jack Tanner presidential campaign?
No, I'm referencing a book such as Natural Cures by Kevin Trudeau.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the point is his basic thesis, and because he supposedly has been involved at the higher echelons of business and government, et cetera, and his basic thesis are, number one, that the pharmaceutical, the food business, most businesses are in business to make money. And so, he basically points out that all these pharmaceutical drugs, they don't really cure you of anything, they just suppress the symptoms. So you're not any healthier at the cellular level.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. I think allopathic medicine does that in and of itself. The only reason I use allopathic medicine is for impact trauma. But go ahead, sir.
Yeah. What is your background? I'm late to the show.
I'm running for mayor. I started out in military intelligence, a 98 Gulf cryptologist with a top secret security clearance at 17 years old, and was the only soldier to go from military intelligence to becoming a Special Forces Tab Green Beret, and that's illegal to do. I had done that with the help of my mentor in Senate, a man named Daniel Inouye. He had found me when I was 17 years old, gave me an IQ test, told me I had a 217 IQ, and he told me I had to join the Army. I said, there is no way I'm joining the Army. He was the chairman of the Indian Affairs Office then, and I was living in a Rosebud Indian Reservation in South Dakota, and I just left Kauai. So he was wondering why the South Dakota State Golden Gloves Boxing Championship was from Hawaii, a kid from Hawaii. So when he found that out, 3 months later, I'm in the Army. So,
your background is very similar to Mr. Trudeau's in that he supposedly took this test to get in Mensa, and then he told them, well, I cheated, and because you can't figure out how I cheated, therefore, you know, I must have some smarts. I would recommend to all the listeners that they definitely reference these books besides your work, sir. Once you start looking into this, the main thing is like 10 years ago, I used to weigh 250, now I weigh 150. I used to take 7 pharmaceutical drugs, I don't take any, and my hobby is health.
Nice.
Because the thing I get too frustrated with, you know, like getting all whacked out about politics, except maybe on the Garden Isle. But I try to limit my getting too foaming at the mouth. Because I just have gotten so discouraged living here 30 years, and I just, you know, I hope things will change. I wish you the best of luck,
sir.
Thank
you.
But I think that there's such duplicity. I mean,
here's the idea. Now, I know we can talk about how negative it is, but I want to bring something positive to it because I have the answer, and it comes from a movie. I'm going to make everybody watch one movie, and it's called The Dallas Buyers Club. Now, just change out Dallas for Kauai. And that Kauai Buyers Club can literally have 70,000 employees all making $76,000 a year. That's $6,180.33 a month per person if we embrace a new healthcare paradigm and give that new healthcare paradigm to the people.
Well, I think that once you start researching, you know, the basics of nutrition, and of course with the GMOs, you see that pesticides and herbicides damage your DNA, and therefore, you know, you are in a world of hurt. And so if you just restrict your diet to organic seeds and nuts and whole grains and organic vegetables and not too much fruit, because that causes glycation, that causes your body to become sugarized up. And I think that more power to you, sir.
Thank you.
You know, I just think that, you know, we live in a sea, a system of mendacity, of little lies. We lie to ourselves, we lie to each other, and of course the government is the biggest liar of them all. You know, I just think it's very sad. So, I mean, I go to an allopathic doctor just to get his perspective, because I'm on a limited budget, and since I know a lot about the naturopathic way, I can't really afford to consult a naturopath. But I mean, I know the last 5 years I've learned a great deal. I've read over 100 books the last 5 years on health. And I'm always researching this. So I think that, you know, it's criminal what these GMO people are doing to our island.
I agree. I don't want the GMOs here.
They should not. I mean, the point is, it's immoral what they're doing. I mean, and what Vandeva Shiva said, the fact that the munition companies after World War II became the pharmaceutical and agro companies, I mean, what don't you understand, people? Anyway, best of luck during your campaign.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. We have Hoppe Hendricks. I notice Curtis is the official
name.
Is that what's going to be on the ballot, so we don't have confusion?
It'll be C. Hendricks Lake on the ballot. When I was 11 years old, when I was sent to South Dakota, I changed my name to Hendricks after the man, Jimi Hendricks. I was a big fan of his. So when I got adopted and I'm standing before the judge, he asked me if I wanted to change my name. I said, yeah,
sure,
man, I want to change it to Hendricks. So I've never used that name before, but I've always been a big fan of Jimi Hendricks and Eddie Van Halen, like I said. So I when I first proved this theorem and knew that literally it could become a template for great change in the world, I sent it to my childhood heroes, the Van Halen boys, through a guy named Rudy Laren, who was Van Halen's guitar tech.
Mm-hmm.
And he had called me a couple of years ago because he wanted to resurrect a show that I started in 06, which I created, called Rockin' Idol. It was American Idol for rock and roll bands. It was just something fun I did. And man, once you get in touch with the music, you know, it's well said to be the speech of angels, you know, you just start thinking a little different. And the part of that cancer cure regimen that I've created, it comes from six frequencies that starts at 528 hertz, which I believe molecular biologists in the future will say is the repair frequency for damaged DNA. I've had the privilege of studying with a cymaticist named Al Bielek, and he supposedly was huge on the conspiracy theory circuit because people loved him because he was on the Philadelphia experiment and in the Montauk projects. I just liked him because his technology. So him and I, in 2001, I was working on brainwave states in the mind. I'm fascinated with the theta state, about 4 hertz in the mind. Anyway, my wife was epileptic, so I built with this guy the schematics from Al Bielek's technology. I built the scalar energy chamber in my third bedroom when I was living across the street from Jeff Gordon, that race car driver in Boca Raton on the ocean. And it put my wife into an 8-hour grand mal seizure, so I had to take her to the hospital. So after that, I knew that I would never mess with brainwave states again until I did a little more research on it.
So you got the right frequency.
So I've never touched that, but I knew that I needed scalar energy for my my therapy, and I based my therapy on Dr. Brzezinski's protein peptides, and Dvorak Samid, the asset that went in to debunk him, she gave his technology to Elon, and they were doing private studies on it, and those private studies were classified. And, of course, I accidentally came across them.
Accidentally.
So I incorporated those technologies that exist in the military-industrial complex that don't exist in the civilian sector. And the first thing that happened to me when I did that, I took it into my work, and I got fired. they just thought it was a little too crazy. You know, they thought I was on drugs or something.
I'm sorry, sir, your show's been canceled. We're talking about the military and private sector. We have a phone guest who is gonna be featured on a panel Saturday at the Lihue Neighborhood Center dealing with RIMPAC. She's oceanographer, a biologist, a doctor.
Nice.
So I'm gonna bring Catherine Music up. Are you with us, Dr. Music?
Yes, I am.
Right
thank
on.
You.
Thank you for joining us on Out of the Box. We have Hoppe Hendricks Lake, candidate for mayor, in the booth with us, and Tim Kalai answering the phones and making phone calls. So thanks for that, and thank you for taking time out of your meeting to tell us a little bit about the event coming up on Saturday, the 7th, at the Lujuy Neighborhood Center, the Oceans for Peace event. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure, and also I have a stepson whose name is Zach Hendricks.
Oh, there we go.
So, yeah, there were people from his era who cared a lot about Jimmy. So thank you, Jimmy. It's wonderful to be talking on your program. The event on Saturday, June 7th, will be at 6 p.m., and it will feature what is RIMPAC and how does it affect Hawaii and what does it cost to us and the ocean and what can we do about it. It's a panel discussion sponsored by Oceans for Peace. A lot of people have not heard of RIMPAC at all. The Pacific Rim, short for the Pacific Rim Global War Games that will be here at the end of June and be here almost 2 months with torpedoes and bombing ships and submarines and 25,000 people.
This is a yearly exercise that
every 2 years, for the more than 20 years they've been coming here.
Every 2 years, so we're spared every other year then.
But that's right, and this year, alarmingly to me, there's not only our usual suspects, but China is with us, South Korea, and Norway, and they're bringing some of their newly fabricated military weapons. It seems like it's partly a big swap meet, because certainly no one's going to give away their tactics and strategies, but a lot of different countries. And I am going to be talking about the effect of sound, including sonar and bombs and torpedoes and missiles, such as the Aegis missile, on the wildlife here.
And this is a great concern, not just for this exercise, but for a number of different naval military-related
absolutely, yes.
Experiments, if you will.
Right, and it's going to be from all the islands, including Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
Maui, Oahu. We are going to be called Pandora. I think Hawaii is Orion. They have different names for their game. So they'll be out there just crashing into the ocean. And so I'm a specialist in corals. I study octocorals, are called. I was in a submarine in Hawaii, and my PhD is on the deepwater corals. There are at least 100 new species here. And I've named these species in Hawaii, in Fiji, in Japan, in New Zealand. But I've given up naming species, because if we're just killing them all the time, then it's pointless. So I'm turning my attention to environmental education. So this is a very important panel discussion. It's going to include Kuhan Pai. She's going to be talking about the Pentagon's Pacific Pivot, and our very own Juan Wilson from the West Side, who's an architect.
Sure.
He's Sierra Club, and he's RIMPAC Impact. Last night at a meeting, he invented a really good word, RIMPACTED. So I'm going to be talking about the RIMPACTED corals and whales and other creatures. And as a Smithsonian fellow, I have a lot of friends over there at the Smithsonian. They sent me a list of over 800 species that are here. We're not talking just corals or just whales, but all of them, sea cucumbers, crinoids, sea urchins, sea lilies. It's really scary. Because all these animals, right.
You have spent a number of years in Okinawa as well as other Pacific islands, whether it's Jeju Island or...
Right, and also even Puerto Rico. I was 20 years in Puerto Rico, and they had military attacks on Vieques Island.
Vieques Island, so, a bombing range, much like Kahoolawe.
Right, so everywhere I've lived in my life, more than half my life, I've been on tropical islands, and every single one has had some impact from the American military.
Yes.
So I'm old now and seeing the world change.
And so Oceans for Peace, tell us a little bit about this organization. Is this a local organization or is this a national, international group?
Oh, Oceans for Peace organization. Is it it's a coalition. I have, I'm not sure. Surf Rider Foundation, Sierra Club. Koholalea, that's what's so important. Yes, the Oceans for Peace is one of the first times we've all gotten together with similar interests. We all want to protect the ocean. We all love the ocean, and this activity is very, very dangerous.
Well, I think this is another opportunity for coalition building, as you guys have built alliances with different interest groups, whether it's environmental or social justice, the fact that there is this continued degradation of our ocean resources, and it's not just limited to the ocean, that we have issues on other islands as well as here, whether it's Agent Orange stores up at the watershed, or it's depleted uranium being actively used in Pahakuloa on the Big Island, or any of the number of training bases on Oahu. This is something that many of us, like you said, are not aware of. We're not aware of the environmental damage. We're not aware of the expense to our pocketbooks, our generations that are subjected to a number of, if you will, calamities.
Absolutely.
All in the name of war.
Exactly. I'm so glad to speak with you on the radio now so we can invite more people to come and participate this 6 p.m. on June 7th at the Lihue Neighborhood Center.
Okay.
As I talked to everyone, I was up in Kokei for the Banana Polka Festival and happened upon people who know about RIMPAC. And one is a guy from here who said when he was 12 years old, he was bicycling around and he picked up this wonderful thing. He dug it all up and he brought it home. His father was so angry, he kicked him and said, no, it's a live ordnance. Apparently the military was firing on Kauai over by the old dairy just above Anaola, and they were using us too for target practice, and he had no idea. It's the older people that know the history.
Right.
And so I, as a child, saw beauty in all the oceans. I've been all over the world, and now at my age, 65 years later, it's 66 years later, it's all collapsing, and I've seen it. So the history is there, and the RIMPAC is going on, and people don't seem to know about it.
Well, I appreciate you and Juan Wilson and Kuhan Pike for taking time on Saturday evening to discuss these, if you will, significant issues that are happening in our backyard, in our front yard. This is a critical issue that we need to speak about, and I appreciate you joining us here on Out of the Box. I have a question here from one of my cohorts here that want you to talk a little bit about the work to save corals in Japan from the U.S. military operations there. But before we do that, I got to let you know that you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, up here on the beautiful North Shore at 90.9 FM, 92.7 in Anahola, and 91.9 island-wide. If you're on the island of Oahu, you're catching us at 104.7 and streaming worldwide at kkcr.org. That's KAQA Kilauea, K284AL Hala'iva, and KKCR Hanalei, the station that loves you. We've got Catherine Music, doctor of your background is biology?
Oh, yes. And I'm a marine biologist.
Yes, and the question was about your work to save corals in Japan. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Part of RIMPAC actually is to fire missiles, the Aegis missiles, and we fire them from here over to Kwajalein and shoot them out of the sky. And from Kwajalein, we're going to be doing the same thing over to Jeju in Korea. And Okinawa is another piece of this puzzle, the so-called Pacific Pivot. Having lived there for 11 years, I really care about Okinawa. One of the last coral reefs on the island of Okinawa is threatened by a U.S. military plan to cover it up with many millions of tons of sand and make a Navy airport. There's a Cap Schwab is a marine base that's in there, but it's small. But they want to expand it, and it's going to completely obliterate a coral reef that's there. It's the most beautiful coral reef left in Okinawa and one of the last ones in the world. I dived there last year at the invitation of the Okinawa Environmental Network. It was surprising and wonderful to see something so diverse and so healthy. If you look at Anini or even Poitou here, anyone who swims around snorkeling notices that we're in terrible distress. The Great Barrier Reef is dying, Puerto Rico's reefs are dying, Hawaii's reefs are dying, and so if we have something beautiful, let's keep it. And the Okinawans have voted 75% against having this American military base there. In fact, the governor of Okinawa once on that platform that they would move the base away, either the Philippines or perhaps here. But he crumbled when he was offered a big pile of money from the Abe, the prime minister, last year, December 26th. And he said, okay, we will move the Futenla base not off the island but up to this remote area, but it's not remote to dugongs and quam fishes and coral. It's an interesting fight because the mayor of Okinawa just went to Washington, D.C. to try to meet with officials, and now the current mayor of the main town is going to run for governor in November, and he's against this American plan also. So because of all the military activity in the South China Sea now and the bickering between China and South Korea and the bickering between South Korea and Japan, it's all scary. And meanwhile, corals are just being crushed because they take over islands and pave them, and that's it. Change the currents, change the rivers. This particular village has it's a fishing hamlet, and they're going to take the port to make it a construction area, and they're going to change the river, and they'll just kill it. So the fact that the Okinawans are against it is why I've become engaged. And one reason I love being in Hawaii is that I could still swim every day and then occasionally go visit my Okinawan friends. Actually, today was gorgeous. I was down in Lauai, Anahola, and Kealia signs were chocolatey brown from all the runoff. So we are in trouble even on our own island. We have to change our behavior. So I'm going to link this Okinawa question to what I'm doing now this Saturday is to give people a sense of what's going on, and once they're aware, we can make choices.
There we go. I think we might have a question for you from Brother Hendricks, who is...
Aloha.
Aloha, Hendricks.
Have you ever tested that chocolate water?
Oh, yes, I do. Of course, I help Dr. Goldberg and Gordon Levitz and others with Surf Rider Foundation. Every second Saturday, we test the water for E. coli, which is fecal bacteria. But we're also now starting to test for things like glyphosate, such as come from Roundup.
Right.
The tests are expensive, but they're very important. I'm familiar with it because my father was a botanist, so we had all that stuff. 2,4-D, 2,4-5-T, Agent Orange ingredients we had in our garage because they were used for herbicidal purposes, and that was what he was studying. So, yes, we do test the water. And
And are you testing for atrazine? Have you guys done
That's an important thing to test, too. I've just received permission to do a coral reef pilot project here to restore coral reefs, and so if I can gather the money to do the testing, we'll certainly do that. Mm-hmm. Atrazine and glyphosate, the problem is, Hendricks, is that there are about 900 chemicals out there that the USDA hasn't ever checked on, and most of them, of course, are dangerous for not only us, but for animals in the ocean. So it's a very expensive process, and good question. I would love to test for atrazine, but I don't think on my side there's so much atrazine used, and I'm not sure that there's that much atrazine used anymore on this island compared to the newer chemicals, such as the glyphosate and the Agent Orange project.
Right, and we won't know until we test them.
Yes, and so then unless they tell us, and so that's why a whole reason to get them to divulge what they are doing.
Yeah, a little disclosure never hurt nobody.
That's right. The secrets are dangerous. It's not. No, it's obviously. So my talk, my part of this is going to be a title called Harm or Harmony, and the implication is a question, and war is not the answer, and so it's a question of choice. So we have a choice. Once we know what chemicals are there, we have to choose what we want. And once we know what they're doing over there and can really prove, I mean, people have proved for years that these blasting that are ravaging the waters here disorient the whales. They get scared and go to beach on land, or it hemorrhages their important organs. They die. They say, no, a death whale is a dead whale. And the effects on planula and coral are very poorly studied. We don't even know what corals are down there, but I can tell you, having been in the submarine, that there's thousands of them down there. There's hundreds of new species. So we'll be losing the entire system. And doing this every 2 years is just dreadful.
Well, I'm being handed some notes referencing Dr. Tyrone Hayes, who was on Ireland a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, I've heard his talk. He's very good. The hormonal changes that happen in frogs.
Right, right. And I guess Tim was suggesting that he mentioned the atrazine having an effect in aquatic species.
Oh, absolutely.
Such as coral.
Mm-hmm. Even Prozac. You know, people take Prozac and then they pee out the Prozac and the fishes are getting too calm. Instead of swimming around the school, they leave the school and another fish nabs them. All these chemicals that are medicine to us are terrible for marine life.
This toxic soup that's in our systems, in our day-to-day existence. We're speaking with Dr. Catherine Music, who will be featured this Saturday, one of three panelists that will be discussing the RIMPAC Global War Games, the ravage on our Hawaiian waters. This is an event being sponsored by Oceans for Peace, and the featured speakers will be Kuhan Paik from the Big Island, a former Kauai resident. She will be speaking about the Pentagon's Pacific Pivot, an environmental holocaust. Juan Wilson, a blogger, architect, Westside resident, and a member of the Sierra Club Executive Board for Kauai, will be talking about the RIMPAC impact. And Catherine Music, a doctor in ocean marine biology, will be talking about the sandblasting effects on wildlife. Harm or harmony? The answer certainly is not war. And what is that good for? Catherine, thank you for joining us. Any other final comments or thoughts that you'd like to share with us in regards to what we're doing, what we got to change, and how we're...
That's right. That's the most important part. It's mahalo. Because I went swimming today in Lauai, and it was so beautiful. It was so clear and so sparkly. I was refreshed. And so I felt that we really have to get together in a small group. Margaret Mead said it, you know, the only changes on the world scale have been started in by small groups, and so we're a small group, but we're working together, we're collaborating, and we care. And I'm invited as a marine biologist, but I'm accepting the invitation because I love the sea, and I have for 6 years, and so I have to express that love. And that's the aloha that we're so famous for, and it's quite shocking that RIMPAC would come here, or GMO companies, or anyone that's bringing the problems from Mauka to Makai, right? So let's all get together on this one. Hui. Yeah.
Hui. There we go.
Hui,
well, thank
right.
you.
Hui ho. Right.
Yep. Hui ho. Malama pono. We will be in touch. And thanks again for taking time to talk story with us on KKCR's Out of the Box show.
Okay. And Hendrik, does he play guitar?
I don't know.
Okay.
Right, but he appreciates the good guitar players out there.
Definitely. I've always been humbled by musicians.
Yes, me too. I love music as much as I love the ocean.
There we
All right,
go.
Thank you, Jimmy Trujillo. You're terrific.
Thank you, Dr. Music. And with that, we'll go out on a little musical note. Just like that.
To be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. He'd let us in, knows where we've been in his octopus's garden in the shade. I'd ask my friends to come and see. We would be warm below the storm in our little hideaway beneath the waves, resting our head on the seabed in an octopus's garden near a cave. Be under the sea. in the shade.
For all you aquatic loving environmentalists, anti-militarists, peace loving people, that's what it's all about. I also want to just make sure folks know that this Out of the Box program is made possible by the good folks at Aya's Garden Supply and Hawaii Life and Island Metal Roofing and the King Kamehameha Celebration. You know, without them, our underwriters, this show would not be possible. Well, maybe it would be possible, but it would be a little bit harder. Anyways, I'll let you guys hear the little spiel about our underwriters. And please, if you're ever out there in the world and you get a chance to support our underwriters, feel free to do so because they support us. What comes around goes around.
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply in Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Island Metals, Kauai's one-stop shop for all things metal roofing and siding. Manufacturing custom orders to your exact specifications in just 1 to 2 days. Right here on Kauai. Contractors and homeowners welcome. More information at 246-4600. Online at islandmetals.com or at our shop in Honolulu. At All Island Metals, we have you covered.
Ma'alie Foundation and County of Kauai present King Kamehameha Celebration and Parade 2014. On Saturday, June 14th at 9 a.m., the fabulous floral parade starts from Vedina Stadium, ending at the historic county building. Full pa'u units, floats, and walking and riding units. Performances by Naamakuakane, Tamatea Nui o Kauai, Kahanulani Ali'i, Ekolu Ena Opio, Naamolokama, the Triple T's, and introducing Kauai Nui Kuapapa. Crafts, food, and non-profit booths, too. That's the King Kamehameha Celebration and Parade, downtown Lihue, Saturday, June 14th from 9 to 3. Everyone welcome. E komo mai.
Right on. Sorry for the dead airspace. And thanks again for our underwriter supporting our community radio. Thank you, listeners, for being there for us. We're trying to be here for you. Really appreciate the support that we received during our spring membership fund drive. Good value. We hit the boot, mark, $60,000 big dollars to keep us going. Yeah, we made our goal. $61,450 was the final tally. So it means we got to keep the lights on and the AC working so that our computer systems don't fry and crackola, all that good stuff. I want to let you know that we've got about 43 minutes of conversation. We're talking with a candidate for mayor in the upcoming 2014 mayoral election. His name is Go ahead. Say it again.
Curtis Hendricks Lake. I'm Hoppa Hendricks for short.
There we go. Right, Curtis Hendricks Lake. C-A-H Lake.
That's
on
correct.
The ballot?
It'll be C. Hendricks Lake
C.
on the
Hendricks
ballot.
C. Hendricks Lake. C. Hendricks Run. Right on. Now, you have a military background you were sharing with us.
I do 7 years in the Army Military Intelligence and first soldier to go from military intelligence to become a Special Forces Green Beret. It's actually against the law. It's against something called a critical MOS military regulation. I had to get a hold of my mentor, Daniel Inouye. He got a hold of Tom Daschle and John McCain. They got me into the 20th SF Group. And then the military stop lost me for a year. They would not let me out of the military intelligence branch. They did some really wicked maneuvering to keep me in, and it was funny because while I was in, they were always trying to kick me out, I think. So they sent me to as an East German spy living in Germany in the late 80s and the early 90s.
With a Polish wife?
No,
not
that
yet.
Was way after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, way after. And then right after that, I went to Iraq.
Yeah.
And the reason I asked a little bit about your background, obviously, you know some of your candidates running against Mayor Bernard Carvalho and Dustin Barca, Miss Debs Carvalho. These are your opponents. And there's been a little bit of just some kind of questions as to qualifications to be mayor and do our candidates have the qualifications. You know, an argument can be made, well, what are the qualifications for mayor? What do you think are your qualifications to be mayor and to be considered by the people of Kauai to be the next mayor?
I think the most important thing is this, that the love of people and the love of humanity has to transcend the love of money and the love of greed. Now, what we see here is we see a government that looks at Kauai as a business interest.
Mm-hmm.
And I can prove this. If you pull up Sam Watterson's 1971 ferruginous bauxite report on Kauai, these are things that I read. I don't go surfing. I read these things because I want to create a utopia where there is an already environmental utopia. We just need a political one. And this political science formula that I have created, I believe will do that. And
wow.
I challenge somebody to try to dismantle in any way, in any form, my formula. And I'm calling it the magic hat trick because there's three parts to it. The health industry paradigm shift, the economic paradigm shift, and then the aha dance, a shift from American to feeling Hawaiian American. Because there's a lot of talk about sovereignty lately, and I've spent a lot of time talking to like Rob Paul, these guys that mm-hmm. are, and I believe sovereignty starts within. And it has to be balanced with the heart and the head and then propagated out into a society. Now, when that society doesn't accept that kind of conflict-free compassion, then that society has to change. Now, our society, of course, is full of conflict. I read in a journal, Psychology Today, 7 out of 10 Americans are depressed. So if you're looking at a 70% population that's depressed, that means 70% of the people wish to share more conflict that's within them
mm-hmm.
and propagate that out to the world as opposed to love. And if you just right. look around in the world, you can see that there's too much conflict in the world. And
yeah.
so people need to shed the conflict that's within them and be kinder, a kinder, gentler nation. And I think we can start here on Kauai. We already have the template of the most amazing Disneyland for adults outside mm-hmm. environmentally.
Right.
And if we can just get the politics aligned with that, and all you have to do is be incredibly transparent to create that political in-breath and out-breath. It's called the political satori. And I kind of learned how to do it from Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela created the most amazing political science technology called the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. I thought about what I was doing when I was 27 years old as a National Security Threat Assessment Risk Evaluator, and I resigned from that life because there's no glamour in sitting in a box with a pair of headphones on, spying on somebody, doing surveillance or what we call research on somebody. My research was called the Rosebud Protocol. Rosebud Protocol was I'm a pilot program graduate of the Rosebud Protocol. It was a three-course module. One was HUMINT, which is human intelligence, basically breaking and entering and survival, escape, resistance, and evasion work, but urban. The second was SIGINT. So I've witnessed the evolution of signal intelligence surveillance technology go from a truck-mounted or Humvee-mounted TRQ-32 or Tilkey-17 surveillance where we were spying on the East Germans in the 80s with to, man, infinity transmitters that you can download an app on your iPhone and connect to the Echelon system. And pretty much every, I mean, this is recorded by the National Security Agency. Snowden mm-hmm. showed us that.
Right.
There's something called the Echelon system. And there's a really cool wounded knee thing. A knee is a known non-existent entity. The National Security Threat Assessment Risk Evaluations Office was a known non-existent entity.
Mm-hmm.
This is just an external intelligence gathering apparatus.
These are part of our shadow government.
Yeah, it's a psychological operation. It's a part of a shadow operation. The money comes diverted from Congress. I mean, the money came from, You buy a $3 hammer and you sell it to the government for $10. That other $7 gets diverted into the black operation slush fund. That's how it's always been. The issue with me is I don't care about the money. I've never been money motivated. Otherwise, I'd be rich. I'm not. I just look at my wallet right now. I have food stamps and I'm on an unemployment check. And I think Daniel Inouye would be frickin' turning over in his grave if he saw that.
Maybe he is.
I honestly do.
Maybe.
So I don't think society should be allowed to fall past the lowest common denominator. And I believe we have done that. And I think we need vigorous transparency. We need people like Dr. Music yeah. testing the water, mm-hmm. testing the air, testing the soil, because that's the way to get rid of things that other people are covering up. And when you look into things deeply, there's a resonance to it. And once you understand that resonance, you can almost see that sometimes at the local level, you're enveloped by darkness because of things that are at the global level.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just trying to provide a little transparency for the people of Kauai to understand their geopolitical economic spectrum. And within that geopolitical economic spectrum, I need people to see just a couple of things. One, you need to know who John Perkins is. He's an economic hitman. There's tons of people like John Perkins that,
right.
that literally control each hemisphere. And there's also trafficking of certain things done by our intelligence communities, that's an open secret that controls part of the economy, and people need to see that. Now, I'm not trying to fight that. God, I'd be, you know, my shelf life would be like the produce section in your local grocery store. I'm
with
not
no AC.
Trying to fight that.
Right.
I just want a better life for the 70,000 residents of Kauai, and I have a plan to share that with them. And it does come from me thinking that having two jobs is sleep deprivation. Sleep deprivation was taught to me as a form of torture. That's how we tortured the Iraqis. You know, so I think our own people are torturing themselves. And I just think there are ways, and I have those ways, to generate streams of revenue and give them directly to the people if they want to do it, if they want to be a part of it. And all I got to do is prove this formula to them, donate it to the people of Kauai, and allow the people of Kauai to create three technologies that do not exist in the civilian sector, that do compartmentalized, that exist in the military-industrial complex. Now, in the military-industrial complex, I was told when I joined in 1986, and I got out September 3rd, 1998, in between that time, I was told that for every year, the civilian sector advances in technology, the military-industrial complex advances 9 years. And that was in 1986. So right now, you're looking at the tip of the spiral when it comes to technology. And I just want that technology to be shared with the people if it can be proven that it can considerably and exponentially create more value to their lives. And so I want to create value for the 70,000 people on the island. And again, here's the formula. Again, here's the gauntlet. The political gauntlet is this. By January, my holo 2020 is to do everything Dustin Barca is saying to do about the GMOs, because he's on the right track with that.
There you go. There's agreement there.
And hello, Dustin Barca. I don't know who you are. I've never met you, and I just found out what you look like by picking up the paper. So it's an honor to know. The only reason I first, the reason I first joined this mayor's race is though, you would look at my name in the paper on Cinco de Mayo and say, well, I can beat that idiot. I mean, that's all I wanted you to think and you to come on board, because I think people need to beat Mayor Bernie Carvalho, that's all. And I believe if I can't do it, then Dustin Barca can. And I don't really care if I win. It's more important for me to get the information out to the Kauai residents, because the Kauai residents with this information, and let me just define my crazy for you, because everybody says I'm crazy, but when I have three technologies, you can't discount crazy. So I'm going to define my crazy. There are good kinds of crazy and there are bad kinds of crazy. Everybody knows about the bad kind because it's so relevant. Go ahead.
Let's take this, before we get too far down this crazy path, let's take a call. Let's take
yeah,
a
ticket
because we got with somebody who's been very patient. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
All right, I've been waiting for over a minute, but you did.
Yeah, so thank you for being patient and thank you for joining the madness on Out of the Box.
I got a question for this guy.
Okay.
Okay, you see, you don't like GMO, right? Okay, if you had the power of the mayor, what do you do with those seed companies?
I would get rid of them by December 18th, 2000. December 18th.
But I can't hear you.
By December 18th, 2018, I would get rid of the GMO companies, and if they want, keep the people by diverting them into a different business. Now, what you can do about the GMOs is the GMOs are in violation of something called the Presidential Directive. It's a Homeland Security Directive, Presidential Directive number 7, where it says any entity that poisons a water system is considered and deemed a terrorist. Now, all five GMO companies can be deemed terrorists and thus eminent domain their property. Now, this, of course, sounds like a pipe dream. But pipe dreams are started by ideas. And ideas are the commonplace in politics. So all I'm saying is I would like to get rid of the GMOs because I don't believe that they should be here. I believe they could be anywhere else and they test their things. I just think what Kauai is this, and people need to understand this, is it is a saturation point ecosystem. Now, saturation point ecosystems, if you do something, it's like global politics. If a butterfly flaps its wings in one hemisphere, it creates a tornado in another. Well, if the GMO spreads hexavalent chromium 6, I mean, it's going to get in the rivers, and at 0.05 parts per million, man, that's a $452 million lawsuit against each GMO company that Aaron Brockovich has already gave us the precedent for. So there's a couple of different ways to get rid of the GMO. I don't like them personally because I've seen what they have done, and I can prove to anybody, that the GMOs have bribed the Food and Drug Administration commissioners. I have proof of that, and I will show it to anybody. All you have to do is YouTube Brzezinski, cancer is serious business, and that has been irrefutably proven when that guy Friedman was the FDA commissioner. So I think if you have to bribe a federal agency to be on Kauai, you're doing something wrong.
Hey, it's always Mark, man. It's America. Everybody gets paid, man.
Well, I say let's have them get paid.
What if you get rid of them? What do you want to do with all the people who work out there? You want to get rid of them?
No, man. I want to create three different industries, and all three of those are $1 billion a year industries, and give them to the county of Kauai, thus taking those people and employing them in a different field. If they want to go, they want to go. That's not up to me. That's up to the GMO people.
Hey, you know what? I give you credit, too. You're the only guy who told me what you're going to do with those people working up here.
Oh, I've been thinking about this for a year. I'm here. That's why I'm running for mayor, is because I'm getting rid of the GMOs. Either I'm going to eminent domain them, or I have something called the AHA plan. It's one-third of my formula that I have to get you to watch a couple of things before you understand it. So I'm going to tell the people of Kauai to watch three things and then come talk to me about my formula, and I'll donate it to you. And those three things are... One is a movie by Matthew McConaughey called The Dallas Buyers Club. Need to watch that so you can understand the business of what I'm trying to do. Now, the economics of what I'm trying to do, you have to watch something called Cancer is Serious Business by Dr. Brzezinski. Now, that'll deal with the FDA. And then the third dance is an international dance craze called the AHA dance. And it's just psychologically going from become...
Whoa, what was that? There we go. We lost him.
Psychologically, it's just shifting from becoming an American to a Hawaiian American. And there is so much power in that psychologically, and I want to share that power with you by by something that the ancient priesthood of Ku has taught me and the Brotherhood of Lono. I have embraced the Hawaiian traditions of the priesthood of Ku, and they only have one oath. And that oath is so powerful that they made the state of Hawaii, they made it become its motto. And the motto is this: the life of the land is perpetuated in the righteousness of the people, not of the GMO companies. And these GMO companies are poisoning our land, and I have proof of it. So I have to. It is my duty to my soul, my civil disobedience to the government. Man, it is my duty to just share this information with you. And if you want to vote for me as mayor, I think politics is the most silly thing in the world. And I think politics needs to be elevated to my level of absurdity. My levels of absurdity are penthouse levels, I believe. So I'm going to share those penthouse levels of absurdity by economically sound, an economically sound business plan. And I've owned 9 businesses, and they've all failed. And I look at my wallet and my food stamp card and my unemployment check, and I'm saying this is no longer acceptable for America. This is no longer acceptable for the county of Kauai, for people to be so down and out that they have to get 2 jobs just to work, just to raise their children. I could do something about that, and I'm going to do something about that by donating this formula to the people of Kauai and shifting an entire global paradigm, I believe, by allowing other people to look at what this formula can do. And all you have to do is kind of watch Moneyball and see how Brad Pitt and Billy Beane did this thing for baseball. Well, what they did for baseball, I am doing for local politics, and I can prove it any day, and I will.
So, Hapa, you're saying, you know, to get the movie like Dallas Buyers Club, you know, is that like, you know, like one like Netflix or
yeah,
something
Netflix,
like that that would carry
I
that?
I just watched it a couple days ago.
Okay, okay.
And the reason why I came on the air today is, man, I get a word a day from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. And today I got the word sound, and it just defined the word sound. Do you know what the first adjective definition of the word sound is? Free of disease. Google it. When I saw that, and I am a cymaticist, at one time I studied the effects of inaudible frequencies and audible sounds on things like quantum level things, like a petri dish full of lycopodium spores. And the higher the frequencies that you shoot in there, the higher the particle pulsations of these spores. Now, these things are called Chladni figures. They're rates of phase state transitions, and these things can be applied to cellular pathogens like cancer. So I want to teach people how to do that, how to literally heal themselves through sound and light and other ways that are so far removed from the allopathic community that they have defined me as crazy for it, which I think is funny. So to define my crazy, the good kind of crazy and the bad kind of crazy. The bad kind uses its crazy innovations to clip the flight, literally to clip the wings of humanity's flight so that it can gleefully watch humanity fall because it feels a more superior and elevated position in watching something else fall. Now, I have seen that conflict on every sphere of influence and every level of this world. The good kind of crazy uses its crazy innovations to literally help the flight of humanity soar. Because one doesn't soar into soaring. One must first learn how to crawl, then walk, and then run, and then soar. And when somebody uses that tech innovation to help humanity soar, it is so interconnected with humanity that it becomes humbled by its own elevated view. And I believe that kind of crazy is the kind I have, and that kind of crazy I can show to the Kauai people.
Okay, and on the second one, Cancer is Serious Business, is that on like
YouTube
or something?
Yeah, it's an hour long on YouTube, and it's about 3 protein peptides that Dr. Brzezinski created that are, by using their own using the FDA's own studies, they have proven it to be non-toxic. It's not a drug. It's just protein peptides.
Correct.
And they've also shown how, you know, once the people at the National Institute of Cancer debunked this,
of course,
they got promoted to FDA commissioners.
Hey.
So I just think that kind of nepotism, and I see it as a dark nepotism, almost like Darth Vader-ish. You know, I'm sure Darth Vader at the Death Star recruited all his friends to be Darth Vader-ish with him. So I feel that the government, the FDA, is kind of who my target is of this local county Kauai politics. I feel the FDA has infiltrated local county Kauai politics so much that, you know, an idiot poet/politician like myself had to get involved and do something about it.
Yeah, isn't that kind of like becoming or being a lawyer for Monsanto, and then all of a sudden you're appointed to become Supreme Court Justice or something like that?
Or being lawyer for Monsanto like Michael Taylor, and then becoming FDA Commissioner or FDA lawyer for the FDA.
Sure, or maybe even working out there one of the the hospitals on the West Side too, or something like that.
Where's our next mayor gonna come from?
I tell you.
I hope it's Dustin Barca, man. I'll vote for that guy. I like him. Right. I do want to challenge him in the ring, though. I hear he's some MMA dude, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, hey, Dustin Barca.
Oh.
Uh-oh, getting a call out here.
Is this a rumble in the jungle?
I am C. Hendricks Lake, and I would like to challenge you to a match in the ring. 3 minutes. Anytime, anywhere. Let me know what you think about that, Mr. Dustin Barca.
Here we go. I mean, he ran all around the island, to meet and greet. To a novel way to kick off a campaign, and now we're gonna maybe enter into the cage, for 3 minutes, and the winner gets the big guy, gets to take on the top dog.
Mayor Bernie,
what do you think? How would you do against the big guy?
I tell you, when I first saw him 3 years ago, oh man, Mayor Bernie would knock me out. Oh my god. I'm so skinny right now, I can hang glide on a Dorito chip. I think that guy would take me out, man.
Well, it would be interesting. I don't know if Dustin's listening or anybody from his camp.
Dustin, I have something for you. It's a card that I wrote 4 years ago. I did not know it would belong to you, but I know it's yours now.
Oh, there you go. Uh-oh. We got gifts coming out.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to let you know that... in about 20 minutes, I've seen her walking around. She's getting ready for her show. It's the Acoustic Luau coming up at 6 o'clock. So keep it locked in here on KKCR, the station that loves you.
Hey, aloha. This is Marin, inviting you to tune in to KKCR on Thursday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. for Acoustic Luau, featuring the best of contemporary singer-songwriters, acoustic blues, rock, gospel, and world beat. It's all about great music, a delectable selection of tasty sound treats. That's Acoustic Luau, Thursdays 6 to 8 p.m., right here on KKCR.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
There we go. So we are joined in the booth by C. Hendricks Lake, candidate for mayor. He's calling out Dustin Barca, wants to go 3 minutes with him. He's also calling out the big guy, Bernie Carvalho, our mayor.
Going to take them on both.
There you go. Miss Debs, you're next. So if you're listening, watch out. We've got a rumble in the jungle. Candidate for mayor, we will be hosting, hopefully at some point in the future, a candidates forum before the general election is, or rather before the primary is done. That primary is going to be a Tuesday in August. And then, of course, the general election is going to be first Tuesday in November, when we'll decide who will be the next mayor, as well as who will be the lucky seven to be the council members. We've had a number of council candidates on air. We've had three candidates for mayor already. Dustin Barca being on often here this show, as well as Miss Debs Carvalho, who is running from the West Side. Also opposed to GMO technology. It seems like of the three candidates, maybe Dustin Barca has the most name recognition, but Hendricks, you're on your way. You got a great first name. You got an ambitious platform. I appreciate you articulating the three-prong, if you will, the hat trick that, or the triple crown, I can't remember.
The magic hat trick.
There you go, the magic hat trick that, you would employ to see some changes on this island. Well, what would you envision as being the most productive, or what is going to be the most beneficial change for us if you were elected mayor?
The most beneficial change. I'd have to say, you know, aggressively getting rid of the GMOs and then shifting the land into different use that's more conducive to a healthy environment.
Mm-hmm.
I think the health of the 70,000 residents should come before, absolutely before anything else. And businesses don't think that way. So once we shift from a more positive, humanistic-based level of government, level of local government, I think that's just incredibly beneficial, because that's not what we have now. There are too many people just so impoverished mm-hmm. in almost every way, and that kind of poverty, wow. And I think local government, there's a lot that's failing, and when you fail on almost every level, you almost want to think, something wow, are they doing it on purpose? I mean,
right, well, right. Yeah. It fuels the conspiracy theorists out there.
It does.
So I'm just trying to offer. I put a year of sober thought into this problem, and I would have put more time in had I thought about it. But you know, I literally awoke from my dogmatic slumbers on November 1st. I got a little sick, and this guy, Kaino alum, always made me laugh. So I thought, oh man, maybe I should try to really give back to a country that, or an island that literally healed me, because mm-hmm. I came here kind of broken, man. I mean, incredibly broken.
Mm-hmm.
I had been, you know, I started a career 12 years ago with people, and I found out they were completely unethical and unbelievably unkind. So I walked away from them, and when I walked away from them, I lost my family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, immediately. They had to move and move back to Poland. So just in America, I mean, that's the kind of business deal that you can get caught up in.
Right.
Wow, and I was relatively naive. You know, I'm from here and then Rapid City, South Dakota, and then the Rosebud Indian Reservation, and a few years in the military. You don't really understand that, wow, sometimes you can get caught up into a world that just will ruin your life. So the last 12 years I've been running, ducking, hiding, and just literally been drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And I sobered up last year, and I knew that I could do something great for the county of Kauai. And what's really fun or good about this, there's no pressure for me, because God, I'm in the best position possible at the beginning of this race.
Right.
I'm in the last, I mean, nobody even knows who my name is, you know, so I'm in the perfect spot to be, because I can only go up.
Right, right. Miss Deb, she ran for council last year, so she's got a little bit of, if you will, campaigning and electioneering experience. Maybe you're right, you know, you're starting down number four, but where else to go but up?
I've never had better odds in my life.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, Curtis, on this too, do you have plans of going around, you know, the island and actually, you know, campaigning per
se?
Yeah,
I started today.
Where's your first place? Oh, well.
So today is my first place. I thought I'd come here and say hello to KKCR. My neighbors kind of turned me on to you guys. And I like the concept of the out-of-the-box thinking, because my whole magic hat trick is everything about it is out-of-the-box, you know?
Sure, sure. So do you have, like, a little schedule or format so we can maybe inform the listenership out there?
No,
or
not at all.
Or as it develops, let us know.
We'll get that word out there to the community.
Okay, sounds wonderful.
Yeah, I know that there's a lot of folks who right now, they're looking at anybody but the mayor. Right, so Miss Debs is attractive to them. Dustin Bark is attractive.
I kind of have a plan for the mayor, too. I took an oath of poverty a couple of years ago when I embraced the priesthood of the Hawaiian priesthood of Ku. So within that oath of poverty, for the first couple of years of that, I couldn't make any money.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just an oath I took for myself, because I think money clouds your judgment, especially as a scientist. It literally takes away the objectivity of doing something. So you're already Heisenberged, uncertainty'd out. I mean, now, if people are after money in the back of their minds, it clouds their ability to be a better scientist. And I think the reason why I'm such a great scientist is because I don't care about money. It's not because I'm smart.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply because I like people, and I want, if I have a way, like, you know, I started with brainwave states, studying that 15 years ago, and now I'm studying cellular pathology, and I just know that I can do a better job than most medical doctors out there, which is really sad. And it's not that I'm smarter. It's just they have been programmed by something called, I call the Sloan Kettering Rockefeller Holy Trinity, these These people have written the books that you study in medical school.
Right.
So, of course, and my sister's a nurse. She's been at the Wilcox Hospital all her life. She's super smart, man. But I just disagree with her allopathic modalities of healing. That is all.
Mm-hmm. We have a caller. And on caller, you are on the air.
Is it me?
That is you.
I am so enjoying the spirit of this person.
Whoa, thank you so much. I thought great truth comes first when ridiculed and violent opposition. I didn't think I'd get anybody saying they like what I'm hearing.
Hey, welcome to KKCR, bro.
So enjoying every word out of your mouth, darling.
Wow, thank you so much.
You are a breath of fresh air in a situation where we are all starving for our breath, listening to the normal people, the regular people who are asking us to vote for them and consider them. I'm inspired.
Wow, thank you so much.
To say, I had to call and just say, thank you so very much for your clean and clear views.
Thank you. So just watch three movies for me and I will donate a formula to you.
I would love to watch a movie, but I'm living, I'm homeless. I'm a camper and no electricity. Calling you from a cell phone that I charge on a little charger.
Wow, well, thank you for the ambitious effort of calling in, actually.
So, Curtis, you know, here's a great thing. You know, we do have a homeless issue on this island, too. Do you have any plans, you know, or anything that you may put out to help some of these folks, you know, in terms of that? You know, is any of your focus towards that?
Absolutely. I mean, being on food stamps right now and on unemployment, I was barely scraping by, and I'm still barely scraping by. I mean, we're living on Kauai. It's the most beautiful place in the world, but it's expensive to live here. As far as the homeless issue, I've been talking to a lot of homeless people in Kapaa. I always ask people, every time I talk to somebody, I just say one thing. Tell me how to make Kauai 10% better. Because I've got a really good friend. He's a billionaire. And I asked him the psychology behind that, and he said, well, I just looked at things that I like doing, and I made it 10% better. So when I ask people about Kauai, how you can make it 10% better, it shifts from their perspective of thinking, you know, ad infinitum, because people have a hard time inductively saying, well, how do I make something really, really good? But 10% better, you just make it personal. And then I've heard, I don't know, just the best responses from that. And the homeless situation has to be addressed by this. I was wondering why I was such a thief all my life. I grew up a thief. I literally broke into small town coffee when I was young, and that's how I got thrown off the island and sent to South Dakota to go live with my grandmother at the Rosebud Indian Reservation. I broke into small town coffee, and I had broken into a bunch of houses before I turned 17. And believe it or not, the government is really into that kind of stuff because it's helpful when you do surveillance. But at my level, I had been in and out of juvie, and the reason why I was kind of suckered into joining the Army is because the Office of Indian Affairs through Daniel Inouye said that they would clear my juvie record if I joined the military, and I was like, awesome. You know, I was looking like I was going back to juvie when I was 17. So joining the Army, saving me out of juvie, I think that was the most the best thing for me, because what I learned in the military was discipline. Just enough discipline so that the creative alacrity of, you know, average intelligence can look at something and not just say, well, we can see what's wrong with it, but to find solutions for it as well. The solution for the homeless problem is the lack of scarcity that is within them. It's a psychological component. Now, of course, there's all kinds of different reasons for being homeless, but there's a lot of people that are simply homeless because, man, they tried their best and they lost their job and all kinds of bad things happened to them. Is there a platform here that actually can help those people? Man, I hope so. And if not, I'd definitely spearhead something like that. I mean, I lived out of my car for a year. I know what that's like.
Here we go. Our caller who just called in was experiencing that, camping, living out on the, you know, wherever she can park her vehicle, wherever she can throw her tent. You know, and this is a case for a lot of people on this island, unfortunately. We are speaking with a candidate for mayor, C. Hendricks Lake. You'll see that name on the ballot. You're hearing him here for the first time as he kicks off his campaign to run against Dustin Barca, Mayor Bernard Carvalho, and Miss Debs Carvalho. These will be the four choices you get. We're hoping that we'll be able to get some forums happening so that folks will be able to get a chance to hear more of your ideas, to compare and contrast the candidates, find out who's the most appropriate candidate to be selected as mayor.
I think we should encourage a debate between us definitely very soon. Mm-hmm. I would love to meet them in a forum anywhere, anytime.
And what do you think? Maybe, you know, a physical test as well. I mean, we know Dustin Barca ran across the island. He ran four marathons in a week to do it. You know, how far would Mayor Carvalho make it? How far would Miss Debs? How far would C. Hendricks Lake make it?
Well, I did my first Ironman triathlon in 11 hours, 53 minutes, and 3 seconds. I was training for my second one, and I got hit by a BMW X3, broke my leg and back.
Dope!
They wanted me to have back surgery and knee surgery. I used a chiropractor for 6 months, and I've been studying with this guy. He was my last Sifu. He's a 35th generation West Shaolin temple. His name's Dr. Cam Ewan, and this guy, I've been studying with him for 12 years. This guy was David Carradine's personal healer. They made that whole TV show Kung Fu after him in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm, right.
So when I got hit by that car, I had a choice. I could get back surgery or leg surgery or use him. And so I used him. And Dr. Cam Ewan is one of the most amazing diagnosticians in the world. And he teaches you reflexology and diagnostics. So I studied with him. I took his basic courses, middle courses, advanced course. And I embraced his teachings along with all my other teachings. And that's like, you know, I walk with Christ. I sit with Buddha, I pray with Muhammad, and I've definitely danced with the devil on a lot of dark nights. But now I think with sobriety, and again, I've literally mastered the drunken discipline or the martial arts discipline or the drunken fool. I don't need it anymore. So I think with the kind of sobriety, that the clarity that sobriety gives, I can offer a lot to the people of Kauai.
I'd love to hear that. We're going to have a quick musical interlude before it's all said and done, and we'll be back with C. Hendricks Lake, candidate for mayor. That's Cake covering Black Sabbath's War Pigs. We got C. Hendricks Lake, candidate for mayor, with the final words. We got Marin's Acoustic Luau coming up here in a very short amount of time. Thank you so much for joining us, walking into the booth, out of the box. Welcome your candidacy to the mayor 2014. Final words, C. Hendricks.
Thank you. Hoppa Hendricks Lake, I'm on YouTube. I threw a couple of idiot poems on there. I'd like to shift from idiot poem to idiot politician very, very soon. One thing and one thing only. Don't just ask me what I can do for Kauai. I'd say you're thinking way too small. I say ask me what Kauai can do for the world with me as mayor, and you'll hear my mayor's call. I honestly believe I'll mystify you all.
Here we go. Final words. Mahalo's Tim for helping us out.
Thank you, Jim.
C. Hendricks Lake, we'll be hearing more from you. This one from YouTube, Freaks of the Garden.